I'm Scott Kessler at the Brotherly Game, talking to Jonathan Tannenwald of Philly.com and his soccer blog on Philly.com, The Goalkeeper. What we're going to discuss today is the Union's possible friendly with Real Madrid. A lot of fans are very excited about the possibility of Real Madrid playing the Union at Lincoln Financial Field sometime around July 23rd, which is the suggested date that the friendly could happen. Now, there are two arguments about this situation, and Jonathan and I will go over them. So, Jonathan, what are your thoughts about the friendly? What have you heard from the sources that you broke the story based off of?
Well, let's put the facts out there, first of all. The Union are in negotiations with Real Madrid to have a game at Lincoln Financial Field on Saturday, July 23rd. Of course, the Union are already scheduled to be in Seattle on that weekend, so they are discussing with the Sounders moving that game to a later date in the year. The only open Saturday that the Union have for the rest of the season Saturday, October 8th, I have heard that that is the date under discussion. It is a FIFA international match day, so no teams in Major League Soccer are playing. The Sounders, from what I have heard, are amenable to doing it, but there is a Division II college football game at Quest Field that day between Central Washington University, a school located in Ellensburg, Washington, about 95 miles from Seattle, and Western Oregon University, a school which is south of Salem, about almost 200 miles south of Seattle. The last 2 years, that game has averaged about 5,300 fans at Quest Field. That game has to be moved for the 36,000 to 37,000 fans who would be there to watch the Sounders on that Saturday. There is precedent for moving a league game to accommodate a FIFA match day. The Union agreed to move their game at Real Salt Lake from April to September 3rd so that Real Salt Lake could participate in the CONCACAF Champions League final. The negotiations with Real Madrid are also not complete yet because the Union want to make sure that Real Madrid do not bring a B team, as Manchester United largely did last year. They want the real stars to be here so that they can sell some tickets and have a big crowd at Lincoln Financial Field. And I would argue probably that you know, if Cristiano Ronaldo came and if Mesut Ozil came, they'd probably sell the whole place out. So those are the facts on the whole. And I know this guy, you and a lot of Seattle fans disagree with moving league games around for the purpose of friendlies. And as I said to you last night, when Manchester United came last year, I didn't remember you complaining quite as much.
Did we even talk to each other last year when Manchester United came to town?
Last night.
Last night, as I explained to you last night, my thoughts then were different because I wasn't involved in the Philadelphia soccer community as I am now. I didn't cover the team. It was 2 months into the, you know, it was 2-3 months into the Union's time as a franchise, and I've liked soccer because of Ryan Giggs. I mean, he's the reason why I am where I am today, covering the team on the Brotherly Game. So it is a different, for me, it's a different thought process today than it would have been then. And like I described yesterday last night on Twitter for you, I mean, looking back on it now, I don't think that the Manchester United friendly was a worthwhile change for the Union. It's my thought, and it's the thought of my colleagues over at Sounder at Heart, that the league should be focusing on trophies and not friendlies. It's evident that Don Garber and the administrative people in the league would like to have the exposure that big clubs like Real Madrid, Barcelona, Manchester United bring. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not arguing against the team going out and having a friendly with Real Madrid. It's obviously going to sell a ton of tickets. As you stated, you think the league could possibly sell out. We saw that with Barcelona versus Manchester United before the Union were even a thought in the Sons of Ben's minds. And, I mean, you have Everton. We had United last year come into the city. We saw Chivas and Celtic play United, the Union, to reasonable crowds. It's just that moving a league fixture date it depreciates the league. It depreciates domestic fixtures. You don't see that in other leagues. It was a difference with moving.
Here's why you don't see it in other leagues. Because they're not playing in the summer. They don't have to worry about this kind of stuff.
Right.
And on top of that, you cannot have your international friendly scheduled for the summer in February before the fixture list comes out. You can't know when these things are going to happen. And I actually think it's convenient for MLS that they built in these days off with the FIFA match days so they can reschedule some league fixtures to accommodate international friendlies. I don't think they'd do this, and I wouldn't do it, for Everton or Chivas or Celtic. You do it for Real Madrid, the most successful club in the history of European soccer. 9-time Champions League winners. A club that, with all due respect to your friends over on the talk radio, are going to generate probably more buzz about soccer in this town than David Beckham did by not coming. And certainly a much more positive buzz. And if the Union had said, oh, we're not going to play Real Madrid because we don't want to change our league fixture schedule, I suspect the reaction on the local, among the local mainstream sports media that have actually heard of Real Madrid would have been so fierce that you would have thrown every single radio in Piscataway, New Jersey out the window of your dorm room. You would have been so angry.
You're not going to hear me disagree with that. I just think at some point this league needs to build its credibility, build the reputation of the league. One reason why people think that the Union moving the date with Salt Lake back, a month ago wasn't reasonable was...
It's because Real Salt Lake didn't win.
Well, yes, but it's also because people don't think that the CONCACAF Champions League means anything.
Well,
and one
that's
reason,
not true.
It's not true.
People may not think that, but here's what we're going to have. If you don't want the CONCACAF Champions League to be a big deal, then the Super League is going to come back, and that's worse.
Right. Well, the reception for both is that it's not... I mean, they don't mean anything. I mean, if you look at it from an American point of view, it's important for Major League Soccer teams to do well in these international competitions that stretch across continents, with CONCACAF or, God forbid, Superliga comes back. They need to do well because they need to show that they can compete with teams from other leagues. People think that the Mexican top league is better than Major League Soccer. Well, how do you combat that? You do well in CONCACAF Champions League consistently.
And here's the other part of that. MLS and CONCACAF, I think rightly, because again you have the specter of the Super League hanging over all this, they want the CONCACAF Champions League to be a big deal for everybody on the continent so that North America can have a competition similar to the UEFA Champions League and to the Copa Libertadores. That's what they're trying to do with this. And I think it's a good idea. Heaven forbid the Union had been in the final of the CONCACAF Champions League and had politely asked whatever team they were playing that weekend to reschedule their fixture. This stuff goes around and it comes around, The Union did a favor to somebody, now they're asking that somebody do a favor for them, and I'm sure that at some point in the future, as big a deal as the Sounders are in Seattle, at some point they may ask another team in MLS to do them a favor, and, perhaps the karma will come back to help them if they help the Union in this situation.
Well, the argument is that, again, with trophies not friendlies, CONCACAF Champions League final means if Real Salt Lake did win, they would bring home a title that no Major League Soccer team has brought home since CONCACAF changed the way that the way that the Champions League was structured. And additionally, that wasn't a simple money grab. That's really what this friendly is. It's a money grab. If it's not Real Madrid, if it's not Manchester United, you've already made this point, if it's not Barcelona, this doesn't happen. There's no question. The league, the teams would not even think about moving a league fixture if it was not for a big name like Real Madrid. It's not just for the exposure. This game, if it was to sell at the Link, creates a huge amount of money, not only for the Union, and not only for Real Madrid, obviously, because they'll get some of the gates, but Soccer United marketing, the marketing wing of Major League Soccer, is going to make a profit off of this somehow. They're involved
There's
in it in some way.
People who go to this game, who don't go to Union games most of the time, who are going to give soccer a try. And we think that soccer, you and I think that soccer, and the MLS in particular, are a big deal. They are to us. They are to a lot of people in Seattle and to a lot of people in Portland. And I had this discussion with the beat reporter for the Seattle Times last night. Philly is not Seattle when it comes to the amount of exposure soccer gets. You know full well how little space there is for soccer in the pages of the newspapers that I work for, the Inquirer and Daily News.
You just have to look at today.
You know how rare it is that a soccer story gets one of the main headline spots on Philly.com sports page where I work, where I help edit that site and have to make those editorial decisions every day because I know what people want to read. Because I have the traffic numbers to back it up, and they don't want to read about soccer. The columns about Beckham were, we had three columns in one day criticizing Beckham, for not coming. You couldn't find them in our traffic reports about what the most read sports stories were that day. It was, people think that soccer is a big deal to them. It is not to the greater Philadelphia sports community and the greater American sports community. And this game isn't going to grow if you say, oh, we have to be high-minded and put a league fixture over and above the chance to have some big-time exposure by playing Real Madrid.
The exposure argument's one thing, but it's completely different when you're moving the league out of the way. One of the main arguments from detractors of Major League Soccer, the people who say, why would I pay attention to this American soccer league when its product isn't close to being as good as, La Liga, English Premier League, Serie A, the Bundesliga. Their main reason is that the product's not as good. And now...
But that the product on the field is not as good.
Right, but...
And these aren't these aren't the people that I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about my boss, who knows not very much about soccer. What I mentioned to her yesterday, I'm about to break a story that the Union are going to play Real Madrid in Philadelphia. She said, I've heard of them. And I'm talking about your best friend in the Philadelphia media, your two best friends in the Philadelphia media, John Gonzalez and Ruben Frank, who at the very least have heard of Real Madrid. This is about more than just the soccer community. This is about something much bigger than that. And playing Everton, playing Chivas, are not about the greater community in the way that this is. You think it would be a great and noble thing if the Union said, we're not going to play Real Madrid because we have to reschedule a league fixture. Do it. As I said earlier, can you imagine what the general reaction among the sports fans in Philadelphia would be if that happened? And you would say, oh, I don't care.
Okay.
I suspect that you would react rather strongly.
Well, I would be... I would be still in favor of them not taking... if they're going to change the fixture. I mean, I'm not going to change from that point of view.
But you'd be sitting there listening to the radio trying to chuck the damn thing out the window because you'd be so upset at the tone of
those. Right, but that's the current state of the Philadelphia market. Now, if we take this and we put it in a different market, okay, if we take this and we just go completely neutral, if we take ourselves away as Philadelphia sports fans, as Philadelphians, and we look at it from a different point of view, if we were on the opposite end, if we were the Seattle in this situation, will we not be entirely upset that we are being asked because another team wants to gain money and exposure for itself, not entirely for the league, but it wants to do this for itself, wants to move the fixture with us, and that directly affects our ability to play on grass at our home stadium? Quest is going to have grass for the first...
Think the grass is overrated.
What?
Sorry.
Well, for the Union, it's actually an advantage because they won't have to play on turf. They're used to grass.
I'm saying, I think the grass thing in general in Seattle is overblown.
But... For them it's a gimmick that people like. Two, they're going to be playing in Champions League this year, the CONCACAF Champions League this year, and part of the reason why their back end of the schedule is light is because Major League Soccer allowed the teams that are going to be playing CONCACAF Champions League to have lighter schedules at the back so they would be able to progress on. Just like you saw the Galaxy have completely front loaded their schedule to make that happen.
I realize that, but. What Seattle is now going to gain, yes, they're not going to have a two-week break in October, but they're not going to have a game now on the Saturday before a Wednesday Champions League fixture that happens to be the same night as the All-Star game. The Union, in turn, are not going to have to fly across the country on the 2 days after they play Everton at PPL Park. They would have to fly across the country to Seattle and then fly back for the All-Star game on the Wednesday, and then be ready to host the Colorado Rapids on Friday. So that cross-country trip is now pushed to October at a point in time, I'm looking at the schedule right now, where the Union had 2 weeks off. Now they're going to play Chivas USA on Sunday, October 2nd. They could conceivably stay on the West Coast if that game is on the 8th, and train out there, and not have to fly back across the country and then fly again. You're going to have a little bit less rest than you otherwise would have. But on the whole, I don't think the damage is two great caused by this. And, as I said, in exchange for Seattle losing one game on grass, they get a weekend off before a CONCACAF Champions League fixture.
But they're more worried about the later end of the CONCACAF Champions League. That's what my colleague at Sunday at Hart mentioned in an article today.
And I'm saying that, so they're not going to have 2 weeks off in October. That's a full week in MLS is a luxury in and of itself sometimes, with the U.S. Open Cup and various other things that are going on. I don't think that the loss is so considerably huge. And so they're going to play, they would have been Saturday, October 1st, again, at New England. Then they would probably fly back for a Wednesday Champions League game, maybe, and then play on, on Saturday the 8th. They're off on the 8th. They have a game on the 1st and a game on the 15th. I don't think that giving them one league game in the middle of a 2 week break is the same as, giving them, say, a Wednesday. If they have to reschedule this to a, which is worse, I guess, a Wednesday between two Saturdays or a Saturday in the middle of a 2 week break.
That Saturday during the two-week break, though, if they are to progress onwards in the U.S. Open Cup, which they've done the past 2 years, it would fall within that as well. They're looking ahead because the tradition with the Sounders is a winning one in terms of the cup, and they did make a push in their first season into the playoffs, and they had a chance and they failed in their first season to progress onwards towards Major League Soccer Cup. But they're looking ahead to the end of the season, and their expectations are, their standard for this team is a deep run into the U.S. Open Cup, a decent run in the Champions League, and a push for the playoffs. They're looking at it as having a very congested fixture schedule at the end of the year, and that's not even including the playoffs that would happen the next month. So that's their point of view. I mean, I can't really blame them for that. And additionally, the Union, you're saying they do give up that weekend that everybody gets off. They would lose both their rests. As you pointed out in your articles, this is the last weekend that they have off for the rest of the season. They'll be the only team during this season that doesn't have the FIFA breaks in September and October off. I mean, if this team wants to make that playoff push, those breaks would help.
I really think they'll be just fine. Again, you've got the choice between playing on a Saturday in the middle of a two-week break or having them fly across the country in the middle of a week to play on a Wednesday.
Which
is worse.
I don't see the short week between Everton and Seattle being that bad. First of all,
I'm talking about them flying out to Seattle for a Wednesday game in September or October.
Well, what week would you propose that between?
It could be any week. My point is, if Seattle refuses to let them play on October 8th because they don't want to have their two-week break in a row, then they're going to end up playing the game on a Wednesday between two Saturdays.
Well, that game would have to be between the 10th and the 17th.
It could be any time in September, October, whatever.
Well, here's the thing. You have two options in September based upon your suggestion. You have two options, September 3rd and September 10th, or September 10th and September 17th.
September 3rd is off the board because that's when the Union play Real Salt Lake.
No, I'm not saying the Saturday. I'm saying between, the Wednesday game that you proposed. So what you could do is go the week of September 3rd, the week after September 3rd, you could go from Rio Tinto to Seattle, and then you would have to come back home the next Saturday to play the Timbers. Or you play the Timbers at home on September 10th, go to Seattle that Wednesday, and then come back on September 17th for Columbus. It's not favorable in either way. I mean, obviously the Wednesday between September 3rd and September 10th helps with the whole...
Do you think Seattle wants another Wednesday game between two Saturdays so that they can have 2 weeks off at once?
I don't think their fans will be upset with it. I don't think Seattle will be upset with it. It opens them up better for the playoff run, for Champions League run.
They'd be less upset with a Wednesday game between two Saturday games than with interrupting a 2 week break for a Saturday game.
Look, if they're approaching it where they think that they're going to be deep in the Cup, deep in Champions League, and pushing for the playoffs, I think they'd rather have three games in 1 week and have that two-week window. I mean, you saw it with Salt Lake. They pushed back their game so they could play in a final. It's the same kind of strategy. They'd rather
right, because
have...
Because the game with the Union was between the two legs of the final.
Right.
I think that a two-week break is a luxury, not a necessity. And I think that the Sounders in particular have more than enough depth in their squad to be able to contend with, you know, interrupting a two-week break as opposed to, you know, playing three games in a week. I think we've seen what it does to a team when you play three games in a week, even if they're all at home. We saw it with the Union just now what happened. If you want to win games, you want to have as much rest between every game as possible.
It's a reasonable opinion. I can agree with that. I'm just saying, from their point of view, they're looking at the possibility of three trophies, and they'd like to be rested for all three, versus 1 week of congestion during September. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm not saying that they're right. That's how I'm reading it. They'd rather have that 2 week window.
I think you would have 1 week of real congestion in September, or no weeks of congestion at all. And oh, by the way, they're still going to have a 2 week break. They're not playing September 3rd, so they are going to have a 2 week break in August and September.
Right. See, for them, it wouldn't be a problem that the September 3rd, and I mean, they're not playing on September 3rd. The Union are in Colorado. I mean, in Salt Lake. So if the Union were to come midweek for them, they'd be playing only two games that week, whereas the Union would be playing three. So really, it's a congestion for the Union. I mean, anyway it goes about it, the Union are adding more to their schedule. In the end, it hurts the Union more. I mean, we're arguing whether or not it's beneficial for the Sounders. You're saying you'd rather be more rested. By doing...
Take you back to the fundamental point of don't play Real Madrid and none of this happens.
Yeah. And one of the arguments is you can't turn down Real Madrid. The Union don't have the kind of pull to bring in, you know, a bigger team. United didn't come down here. They're not going to get someone big. You know, you're not going to pull in Barcelona, Real Madrid on short notice unless something crazy happens like it did now where Real Madrid's fixture falls apart and the Union jump on it. But if the Union are able to negotiate this friendly, say that they do make this friendly happen, and they force Real Madrid, per Carey's Gabriel's article, to have that, you know, that A team come in, Cristiano Ronaldo, Iker Casillas, all the big names, then obviously the Union have some sort of pull. Or Real Madrid's desperate, but I don't think Real Madrid's going to be desperate about playing a Major League Soccer team. Obviously they want money, but they're not going to be desperate. If they have that kind of pull, bring in other teams that don't affect anything that has to do with Major League Soccer. They managed to do it with two out of the three last year. And, you know, sure, the fans will hate you a little bit, but...
The Union are not setting this friendly up. Major League Soccer and Soccer United Marketing are in charge of this thing.
Right.
They are the ones who do the scheduling. They
right.
are the ones who do the booking. They are the ones who pay the European clubs with the sponsorship money that they've got.
Right.
There's no way the Union could ever afford to pay Real Madrid.
No.
To come here. This is a Major League Soccer and Soccer United Marketing promotion, and last I checked, you were fairly happy about that because it mentioned Lycan and Thor.
What was that?
Last I checked, you thought that was a positive thing, that Major League Soccer was in charge of this instead of the Union.
Not exactly happy with some. Because Don Garber loves friendlies, as we see with the All-Star Game, and I'm not exactly in favor of such things.
Let me ask something about the growth of... If the point here is to make the Union and Sounders fans happy, that's fine. Is the point to make the Union and Sounders fans happy, or is the point to grow soccer in America?
Okay, the argument, as we've regressed back to, is between whether or not you agree that the exposure of an international friendly is more important, or adding to the reputation and the significance of league matches. I mean, that's really what this boils down to. On one side, the argument is that the league will grow better by exposing itself internationally.
I'm not just talking about the league. I'm talking about the sport.
Well, the sport,
about
yeah.
The test pattern television ratings that Major League Soccer games get on ESPN when the NBA playoffs are going on. I'm talking about, you know, a fan base in Seattle. I love going up to Seattle for games. They're really important in Seattle. They're lucky that they're really important in Seattle. They're lucky that they've proven to the Seattle Times, the major newspaper up there, that there's enough interest in soccer and that soccer sells enough newspapers that they should send their beat writer across the country to Philadelphia 2 years in a row. I can tell you from firsthand experience how much it costs to make that trip.
Yes, you've said that on Twitter.
You know, you tell me how many times the Inquirer or the Daily News has paid to send one of their beat writers across the country for a game. I know the answer. The answer is once. For the opener in Seattle last year. Because the interest in soccer doesn't sell newspapers in Philadelphia. If you want it to someday, you have to grow the game somehow. And cutting off your nose to spite your face, as I think this is not a good way to grow soccer in the country.
I don't agree that you have to force yourself to change fixtures to make these kinds of things happen. Then
let's play in the winter, so we don't have to worry about this.
But that would actually hurt the league more than it would help it.
Well, there you go.
But see, if Major League Soccer is going to be its own marketing arm, through some, which is basically just a marketing arm for U.S. soccer as well. If that's how it's going to be played, then just like everybody was complaining about how long the schedule took to came out, they kept on pushing it back. It took forever to come out.
Yeah, you know why that was. The reason why that was is that Vancouver didn't know when D.C. Place was going to open.
Right, but I mean,
that's not Major League Soccer's fault.
No, but if they're going to control all this and they're going to control every aspect of this marketing approach and the scheduling approach, they need to make it available for teams to play international friendlies without affecting that schedule. And you know how you do that? You make sure that there are open weeks during the summer. When are these teams able to come in? During their offseason, during their preseason.
And you're going to therefore guarantee, you're going to know in February, I just said to you, you're not going to know in February what your international friendlies are going to be in August.
I don't totally agree with that argument because you have to think that negotiations are going on for a couple of months prior to them being announced. DC United's friendly.
Yeah, and
with,
if you want, you, 3 months maybe.
Okay.
But if you want the fixture list out in January, you're still way before that.
See, the argument wasn't so much that the argument with the complaint about the league coming out with the schedule so late wasn't just that it was late. They didn't provide any ample reasoning for it. They didn't come out and say, you know, it's late because Vancouver doesn't know. People just put one and one together. And then when it came down to it, it kept on getting pushed back. There was no news. They didn't respond to fan interest in it. And that hurt their...
That speaks to a different problem, not the fact that Vancouver Stadium wasn't ready.
Obviously, it speaks to the whole communication problem that Major League Soccer has had since its inception. But if they came out and said, we're going to release the schedule in late February because we are going to provide teams with the ability to play international friendlies without sacrificing the significance of our league matches.
But you're going to be playing games on Wednesdays when a lot of people can't go, and you're going to have 2,000 people in Columbus instead of 5,000 people in Columbus.
Well, here's the thing. Sure, it's nice that every team had scheduled off days for FIFA matches. I mean,
The first time ever.
But the question is, now that they're using them to reschedule matches, as we've seen possibly twice with the Union, wouldn't it be better to take one of those away, make teams play without certain players? It happens occasionally in other leagues, too. We've seen that with teams. Sure, the New York Red Bulls got killed, but that's on them for having so many...
You can only do it once every 4 years. You cannot do that in the 2 years prior to a World Cup because you cannot hurt the U.S. national.
We're not in those 2 years though.
Right. I'm saying if they were going to do it, they could only do it for 2011.
Or
they couldn't do it for 2012 or 2013.
Or you start the season a week earlier.
Yeah, it's snowing enough already at the beginning of the year as is.
There's no problem with letting it snow for one or two games. It'd be worse if we had an entire winter fixture list, and then you have to deal with the cold and the snow and the sleet and the freezing rain for a long period of time. If the sacrifice is to allow for the league to keep that to make itself more significant by putting the league in front of these friendlies, then...
You cannot guarantee international friendly dates when the fixture list comes out. You cannot guarantee that the European clubs will be willing to play on those dates specifically.
Well,
the
that. World Football, the World Football Classic or competition
challenge?
Yeah.
I don't care what it's called.
Whatever.
My point still stands. You cannot guarantee that stuff that far out.
Who does the WFC?
It's a combination of Soccer United Marketing and Creative Artist Agency, which has they do have a big player agent representation in international soccer.
They were able to schedule these dates. I mean, obviously, the Club America fixture that was rumored fell apart, and that's why the union is stepping in. They were able to set these up.
No, I don't think it fell apart. I think that it became clear that the union wanted to participate in that game and were willing to do some things to make that happen.
Okay,
I also think... I would have been very interested to see what the reaction would have been if Real Madrid had come to Philadelphia to play Club America and the word had gotten out they were playing Club America because the union didn't want to move a league fixture. What do you think the reaction would have been then?
I think...
Not from you.
Okay, I think that the reaction would have been what you've said, people would have complained. However, okay, would the same people go to that game? Some people will not.
But
the Real Madrid fanboys and girls, just like the Manchester United fanboys and girls...
That would not have been a pro-Real Madrid crowd.
It would have
been a pro-Club America crowd.
But it still would have been a sizable Real Madrid crowd. I mean, not the same as the 25,000 supposed United fans that showed up and didn't do a single glory during the game. I mean, is it going to be the same way? No, because Manchester United has a stronger reach here in America, especially on the East Coast. But there would still be a sizable enough support for Real Madrid at that game. And you'd also have the Club America. In fact, if anything, Club America would be a fine team as a substitute because of the supporters that would come out to that game. A lot of people love the Colombian supporters that came out to the Colombia-USA match at PPL Park.
The general Philadelphia sports fan would not have gone to that game.
So you're saying that people that don't currently pay attention to the union or don't currently, they don't hate soccer, but they don't love it. You're saying that
the Real Madrid game.
Because of the union, not because of Real Madrid.
No, because of Real Madrid, they would go.
So you're saying that if the union aren't there, that these same people that are on the edge and could possibly be brought onto the side of eventually watching soccer won't go to this game because the union aren't playing in it, but Club America would be?
Correct.
I completely disagree with that.
I think that if Real Madrid played Club America at the league, the mainstream, and let's call it what it is, Caucasian and African American sports fans in Philadelphia would have dismissed it as a thing for the Hispanic community.
That's reasonable. That is reasonable. So maybe Club America because of the Mexican Spanish backgrounds. Maybe it's
and
not
it would have
the best
sold
thing.
Out the link anyway.
Yes,
there's a lot of Club America fans from New York and Washington who would have come into town for the game.
Now, when Manchester United and Barcelona played at the link, what was it, back in 2006?
2003. It was the first
thing. Was it really 2003?
2003. It was the first thing that ever held at Lincoln Financial Field. I was there, and I will never forget it because the place was absolutely packed for a soccer game, and they never put gridiron lines down on the field in the first place.
Okay. It was packed. Was the atmosphere good?
I have no idea. I was in the press box. I couldn't hear anything.
Okay, well, obviously they need to do the PPL open press box.
Yes, the atmosphere was great.
Right.
And the people who were there were general soccer fans in Philadelphia because this was the first time since 1991 that there had been a soccer game of consequence played in Philadelphia.
But there weren't only general... That is a quintessential game to bring one of your buddies who may or may not be in the soccer, is on the edge and could be possibly converted into someone to watch it.
Real Madrid versus Club America is not.
Real Madrid is. See, if Manchester
Real Madrid versus Club America at the link is not. Real Madrid versus the Union at the link, where you have at least some vague level of local tie and people in town have at least heard of the union. They know they exist, and they know they have this fan.
That would be better for the
fans.
That would be better
fans to make the games fun to go to. They would have gone to check it out.
That would be better for the union, possibly better for Major League Soccer. But your argument for this entire thing is increasing soccer appreciation throughout the country of the United States of America.
And in Philadelphia.
Okay. Either way, if you put Real Madrid in that stadium and people who do not currently enjoy soccer, per se, go, that in itself does the same thing.
And I'm telling you, they're not going. If it's Real Madrid versus Club America, and they perceive it, rightly or wrong, as being a thing for the Hispanic community.
I'm guessing if you polled 100 people, you get at least 25 people that flat out say that, yeah. And then
it has more to do with how our region works. If Real Madrid played Club America in Washington, lots of people from all over the place would go.
Okay. So say
Chicago would probably mostly be the Mexican crowd. They don't want to get in.
Based on the demographic in Philadelphia, if we substitute Club America was then at St. Petersburg, and you get the Russians from the Northeast, is that better?
No.
If we substitute them for, unless you're bringing in...
Substitute them for AC Milan, then you're getting closer.
Okay, so you get the South Italians. And you know what? AC Milan makes sense because AC Milan is supposed to be the forefront partner for the sports complex that's supposed to be built at some point in the Northeast.
Okay, then maybe AC Milan, but I'm saying. Then Napoli.
Yes.
If it was Napoli, no. If it was AC Milan, yes. See the difference?
It hurts because as someone that actually knows the two clubs and has watched them this season, it'd be more enjoyable to watch Napoli. It really would.
Well, you and I know that.
Right.
And by the way, if it was Real Madrid versus Club America, and you were me, and you had the choice between going to Seattle that weekend and watching Real Madrid versus Club America, what would you do?
As a journalist or as a fan?
As a journalist.
Okay. Well, you covered the team.
I have a very serious choice on my hands because Seattle is one of my favorite places to visit.
Right.
And I have been planning most of my summer around two games, Seattle at Portland and Philadelphia at Seattle. And part of the reason why I was able to break the story is because I had to talk to some of my sources to tell them, I need to book a flight to Seattle. Should I do it or not? They said, no.
Have you seen Real Madrid before?
In person?
Yes.
No.
Do you like La Liga?
Absolutely.
Do you enjoy Cristiano Ronaldo, Saint Iker, Higuain?
I don't enjoy Cristiano Ronaldo because he dives all over the place like a fish.
But when he doesn't, and he actually chooses to try, it is nice to watch.
Yes.
But
I more enjoy Mesut Ozil than I'll be Maria.
You also cover the Union. You've been to, I presume, pretty much every single game that you could reasonably go to, and you, as you stated, are a lover of Seattle's soccer culture and games. I would go with the MLS game because you can always see Real Madrid again. They're going to be back in this country.
But you can't see them in person. You can watch them on TV all the time, but you can't see them in person.
They'll be back in the Philadelphia area at some point during your lifetime.
You tell, yeah. I'm 27. I got, 70, 80, hopefully years to go. That's a long time.
How many times, Manchester United in 2003, did you think they were going to come back to Philadelphia after that?
I figured they would at some point because the venue was there, but I didn't know when.
Well, the same arguments for Real Madrid.
No, I don't think so. Because Manchester United has a huge and very lucrative American fan base that Real Madrid does not have.
But Real Madrid still does have a size. It doesn't have. No, you can't compare any team to Manchester United in terms of fans throughout the world. But
you just did it.
I mean, it's not fair to do it in those terms.
If I thought Art, I would put Manchester United only in terms of there are three. Let's say five total clubs in Europe. that have large enough fan bases that they would come here on a really regular basis. Maybe six total. They would come here on a really regular basis and make a point of coming here on a regular basis.
United, Barca.
Manchester, no.
Not Barca.
Or Spanish. Manchester United, Liverpool, Celtic, AC Milan, Inter Milan, and Juventus.
Yeah, Juventus.
I can tell you, there's a lot of Juve fans.
There are a lot of Juve fans, but if you're going to include Juventus and not put on a Barcelona or Real Madrid, then I have to... I'm going to question
Real Madrid is a spectacle.
Yes.
United is a team that people follow in this part of the country like the Yankees and the Eagles.
It's very true.
You can argue, I would say, of the six, the one that you would be most likely to drop is Liverpool, not Juve.
No, Liverpool, because of the 80s into the 90s, I'd say.
And Celtic could come here every year, they probably do it.
Well, it's because of the regional flair, yes.
Right, but so Real Madrid has a lot of fans, quote-unquote, you know, sort of loose-tie fans in the United States. They don't have diehards, so many diehards the way that Manchester United and Celtic do, even if, in fact, the quote, the supposed Manchester United diehards, as you mentioned, couldn't know whether Old Trafford was a cricket ground, a football stadium, or, you know, some lady living down the street from you.
Or that it wasn't actually located directly in Manchester.
All right, but you know, again, it sort of goes back to the original point I was making.
I understand.
You and I, Jeremiah Osha, and Caitlin Dwinnell, and lots of other people, including lots of very good friends of mine in the media here and in Seattle and elsewhere. To all of us, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. To all of us, soccer is a very big deal. To the greater populace in America and in a lot of big cities across the country, including Philadelphia, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Columbus, Colorado, Kansas City, Dallas, Houston, and many other places, except for Portland and Seattle, Major League Soccer and American soccer is not that big a deal. And if we want it to continue being not that big a deal, then we can remain insulated in our own little community. If we want to grow the sport and the TV ratings and the interest to the point where maybe someday a guy like John Gonzalez will take an honest interest in going to a Union game instead of bashing it and baiting you into reactions the likes of which we've seen over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Then we should do things to help grow the sport. And if that means inconveniencing ourselves a little bit in the name of the exposure and the interest in the game that Real Madrid coming to Philadelphia will generate, I think that's a worthwhile sacrifice.
Well, thank you, John, for coming on to the Unnamed Philadelphia Union podcast to speak with me. Scott Kessler of the Brotherly Game. John just did his best Barack Obama impersonation, though he didn't have a teleprompter for that impassioned speech. Once again, thank you, John, for coming on. He's Jonathan Tannenwald of Philly.com and his soccer blog on Philly.com, The Goalkeeper. And we'll be talking to you on Twitter. You can find Jonathan on Twitter at The Goalkeeper and also at J. Tannenwald. Thanks again, John.
You're welcome.